Hear the word of the Lord. A psalm, a song at the dedication of the house of David. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you and you healed me. O Lord, you have brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made my supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my joy may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for the mighty deliverance you've wrought for us in Christ, even when we were near unto eternal death. And we pray now as your people that we would be mindful of your grace unto us and that we would pray and respond in thanksgiving and praise to you accordingly. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our theme from this psalm this evening is the idea of using past failure as an opportunity to glorify God. Using past failure, or specifically past sinful failure, as an opportunity to glorify God. Here the psalmist David is remembering one of his own past sinful failures due to his prideful overconfidence. We read that in verses 6 to 7. Now in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. And then at the end of verse 7, you hid your face, and I was troubled. We don't know what this sin was. We don't know the occasion that he's speaking of. But we know that it led to what seems to be a near-death experience in God's chastening. It brought God's chastising rod upon him. And when he looks back upon it here, he remembers his sin and God's deliverance from it. The result of his sin was painful discipline. He speaks in verse 5 of the Lord's anger. Not the anger that God has toward the wicked, but rather the fatherly displeasure that God shows to his own children in love to them when he disciplines us. And we know from Hebrews that if we don't endure this discipline from the Lord, that we're illegitimate children and we're not sons of God at all. But the psalmist experienced here the anger of the Lord. He experienced the hiding of God's face, what the Puritans referred to as abandonment or apparent abandonment. We know that God does not abandon his children, but he does hide his face so that we don't experience the joy of our salvation. Remember how David talked about this in the 51st Psalm, how that the heat dried up his bones. That's how he described this. It resulted in weeping. He said in verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. As a Christian, do you remember experiences like this, where your own sin brought about God's chastisement? And when you think back about that sin, and you think about God's chastening rod after the sin, It can bring you to tears, or you can feel the pain of it. It's something often unpleasant that we don't want to remember. And going into this new year, imagine as a Christian, if you could hit a delete button and erase the memory of every time you sinned this past year. Or think about your entire life until now, if you could hit a button and erase your memory of every time you've ever sinned. You don't remember any sin you've ever committed. We might think, well, that would be wonderful, and I would love to do that, but it's not God's purpose for us to do that. And though our sins have been dealt with and have been erased, atoned for, forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, and though God has promised He will not remember them against us anymore, He will not bring our sin up and hold us guilty for it anymore, yet God has not willed for us to be able to forget our sins. And they are going to come to mind. We are going to remember past sinful failures, whether smaller or larger sins. And when we do, there is a way of responding to this memory that is glorifying to God. Now, we need to mention here that we never want to remember sin in a way that is glorifying to sin or in a way that magnifies sin. We never want to remember sin in a way that is in a favorable light. Remember the psalmist said in Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That term regard has the idea of having a favorable feeling towards sin. If I remember sin in that way, this is something hostile to God. No, our sins should disgust us. Even the smaller sins that we think of should disgust us. We should never remember them in a favorable light. But what the psalmist is experiencing here and what we seek to do as Christians is that when we remember past sinful failure, we respond and we do so in such a way that is glorifying to God. I want to open up this theme to us and how we are to do this, how we are to use past failure as an opportunity to glorify God. First of all, remember the past failure in light of God's deliverance from it. Remember it in light of God's deliverance from it. This could be when you remember common grace deliverances. Maybe even before you were in Christ, before you were saved. And God spared your life from some disease, or God spared your life in a car crash or some near-death accident, and you think back upon it and it makes you sick and you realize what a close brush you had with death. Well, when you think about that, give glory and praise to God that God spared your life. The psalmist talked about going down to the pit of Sheol. He talked about being near unto death. When you think back and you remember these things, focus on God's mercy and grace to spare your life and give Him glory for it. More than this, when you think about God's special grace deliverances, deliverance in Christ to you as a Christian, especially when He first brought you to faith in Christ. And often you think about the sins that God saved you out of, the sins that God convicted you of to reveal and to show you that you're a sinner in need of Christ. When these come to mind, remember this in light of God's deliverance. God didn't leave you in your sin. He saved you out of it. Give Him praise for it. Give Him glory. Use this as an opportunity to praise God for that deliverance. Since you've been saved, when you think about spiritual backslidings that you've experienced, in times like the psalmist, that you grow overconfident, sinfully overconfident. You start slacking in prayer, slacking in the means of grace. You maybe like Simon Peter, remember when Jesus called him out to walk on the waves of the sea with Him, and Remember how Peter went walking on the water to the Lord Jesus, but then when he looked and saw the winds and the waves, he began to sink. Maybe you've experienced this in the Christian life. If you've been saved very long, you have experienced it. Sometimes when we get overconfident, God will allow us to sink and show us just how weak we are in ourselves. And when we think back and remember these things, oh dear Christian, do so in a way that focuses on God's deliverance from it. Our Lord Jesus didn't leave Peter there to drown. He lifted him up. Remember that. Remember his lifting you out and praise him for it. Don't take it for granted and don't focus on what you were. But look at it in remembrance and in light of who God is and what God's done for you in Christ. You may think back as a Christian to sinful ignorance and maybe your former religious life. You think, how could I have been so blind? How could I have been so much in bondage? And you remember, maybe you were in that for years, and God has set you free by greater understanding of the gospel, greater understanding of who God is. Well, when you think of those things and you think, how could I have been so ignorant? Remember, God brought you out. You're not there anymore. Give God glory for it. Secondly, not only remember this in light of God's deliverance, but when you think of past sinful failures, praise God for his deliverance from it. Praise God for it. Give God praise. With the psalmist, give God praise. Personally, we see that in verses 1 and 12. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up. You have not let my foes rejoice over me. Verse 12, he mentions that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. The psalmist personally is praising God for his deliverance of him. We ought to do this daily as God's people. We all ought to daily remember all that God's done for us and the redemption he's given us in Christ. We ought to remember it in family worship. We ought to rehearse to our children. I remember my godly grandparents and my parents rehearsing over and over again. Let me tell you how God brought me to faith in Christ. Let me tell you how God changed me, what God has done for me. Personally, we should praise God. Corporately, we should praise God. Verse 4, the psalmist is calling upon the people of God corporately. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Today, as the church gathered, we praise God for this salvation, and every Lord's Day we do this. When we're singing the hymns and the psalms of God's deliverance, glorify God for how he's delivered you, dear Christian. We ought to give God praise perpetually for this. Verse 12b, he says, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. You've seen the slogan with the phrase, the number 911, we remember. Well, as we gather as God's people, we ought to always have it in our mind. God has delivered us from our sin, and we remember. We've not forgotten. We don't take it for granted, but rather we praise God. And I remind you, dear Christian, that as we always fall short in our praise to God, as we never render perfect praise, never in this lifetime will we do that. I encourage you that your Savior, your Lord Jesus Christ, offered perfect praise on your behalf. And he perfectly glorified God in his worship to God. And this is credited to you, and this encourages you as a Christian out of the overflow of this grace in Christ and by the help of the Spirit to praise God when you remember your own past sinful failures. Third and lastly, how are we to use past failures and opportunity to glorify God? Well, as the psalmist does here, trust God now in the present as a result of his past deliverance. We see this in verses 8 to 10. He says, I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. Once the psalmist has remembered God's deliverance of him in the past, he is strengthened in his confidence to call upon God right now. If God's delivered me before, God will deliver me now, and I trust him. And I encourage you, dear believer, our holy triune God has made all the provision for you before the foundation of the world. He's accomplished all of it in Christ, and he's applied all of it to you and is applying it by his Spirit. Take confidence in this. Glorify God for his salvation of you in Christ, and give him glory as we go to God in prayer. And like here with the psalmist David, may the Lord help us when we face the memory of past sinful failure, that we may use it to glorify God for his deliverance and to trust him now in the present as we call upon him. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'll turn it over to Pastor John.